Two Views of Love in Two Musical Comedies. If my choir is performing a song from a film or a play, I always like to put the piece in context, which often means that I have to wade through summaries of plots that make very little sense. Many, if not most, musical comedies have plots that are simply frameworks, often flimsy, to hang the song and dance numbers on. It's okay for me to end that previous sentence with a preposition, since one of these song titles does too. Also, sometimes the musical numbers have outlived the production for which they were written, and it's very difficult to get access to the original story. Such is the case with Something to Shout About, the 1943 film scored by Cole Porter, in which You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To occurs. I'm finding it very difficult to get an idea of how the song is actually used in the story. I know who sings it and to whom, though, and I've managed to get a rough idea of the plot. Wikipedia was just plain wrong on this one, but luckily, they weren't the only source available. Turns out, it's one of those rich backer insists on appearing in a show even though she has no talent thingies. So at first, I thought it was sung to the rich backer, a wealthy divorcee, by the producer of the show with the idea that he'd marry her and get her to stay home. This was 1943, after all. According to the film's performance credits, though, the couple involved is a theatrical agent and the talented girl who is ripe for the part that the divorcee has taken on. I could get the movie through Amazon and watch the whole thing, but I'm afraid that's just not on the agenda. So we'll have to leave it at that for now. As I've hinted already, the view of love presented here is a very traditional one. The woman stays home. The man comes to her. She's there no matter what. Full lyrics, such as they are, can be found at the end of this post. They Can't Take That Away From Me by George and Ira Gershwin is a different matter in that its function in the plot, or rather plots, is clear. That's not to say that the plots themselves are clear. The song actually appears in two films, Shall We Dance, and The Barclays of Broadway. In SWD, Rogers and Astaire's characters are rumored to be married, but really aren't. And so the idea is that they'll actually get married so that they can actually get divorced. Got that? The occasion of the song is a foggy night crossing on a ferry as the new bride and groom return back home from their quickie wedding and plan for an even more quickie parting. Astaire says to Rogers, "I hope you enjoy your divorce." So the song has a tone of bittersweet farewell, unlike You'd Be So Nice. Of course, we know that Ginger and Fred will eventually get back together, which they do at the end. Interestingly, the couple doesn't dance in this scene. Astaire sings to a silent Rogers. Dancing wouldn't have fit the mood at all, and the constrained setting of the ferry deck isn't conducive to a dance number. In the film containing the reprise, Rogers and Astaire play a husband and wife Broadway dance team with, quote, marital issues, unquote, and do a gorgeous performance of They Can't Take That. Barclays was their 10th and final film together. SWD was their 7th. One little nugget I mined was that originally Judy Garland was supposed to play the lead in Barclays, but that her growing dependence on prescription drugs caused her to have so many absences that she was fired and Rogers hired as her replacement. Given the fact that Ginger Rogers was a very touchy, proud person by all accounts, I find it rather astonishing that she agreed to take the part. There was talk that the elfin, younger Rogers had now become more mature and athletic as a woman. All I can say is that she looks great. As is widely known, Rogers and Astaire by no means had the same chemistry off-screen that they had on. In fact, they didn't like each other much. Rogers didn't like Astaire's autocratic control of their dances, and he found her difficult to work with. At one point, many years after their last film, he said, "Oh, Ginger, she always wanted to be boss." But he was the master of the dance, planning their steps out as if he were a military general, mapping out every step on paper and then on a blackboard. Their first film together, Flying Down to Rio in 1933, was such a success that the two were seen from then on as an ongoing duo by RKO Studios, which owned their contracts. Astaire wanted to work with other dancers, and Rogers wanted to star in serious drama, but no dice. They were just too popular together. For their last RKO film, and next to last film in general, a biopic about the dancers Fred and Irene Castle, Astaire tried to get the real Irene Castle, then long past her dancing days, to intervene with the studio and get them to hire someone else. RKO firmly declined her advice. A note on the lyrics. Since I wrote about how George and Ira Gershwin labored over fitting the lyrics to the music, with Ira doing most of the laboring, for the song Fascinating Rhythm, a previous post, for which the link is provided, you may be wondering if there was a similar fraught process over the ones for You Can't. After all, how do you decide what tugs at the memory more? The tilt of a hat, the beam of a smile, or the lifting of a teacup? How was the decision made to include that the man is so besotted he even likes her off-key singing? I ran into a fascinating interview on NPR that said, it was actually written very quickly. When George and Ira came to Hollywood the second time in 1936 to write for RKO Pictures, to write for Astaire and Rogers, who were already a successful team, they came to Hollywood with a fair number of ideas already in mind. So the songs for that first of the three movies that they wound up doing in L.A. in the 36-37 period, they all came together very quickly. The songs are written to fill certain sequences in the film. This was one of them, and one of the best. And I have a footnote to follow if you would like to read the entire interview, which is quite interesting. And then I have a selection of videos, which, again, you can view if you access my blog post. Go to DebbieSimons.com and search for Two Views of Love.